So we are continuing our sermon series we kicked off last week, and it's all about the cross that has become such a recognized symbol in many, many different perspectives. But why are we looking at the cross? It's basically the overall learning is to increase our understanding of the cross. And in doing so, to stimulate our worship, deepen our discipleship, and enhance our witness. Wow, that's pretty powerful stuff. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus, that we can come together and continue our fellowship with one another through your words, through songs of worship, through prayers, and through general conversations and fellowship with one another. And pray that this morning, words that are from you would take root. Words that are not from you would fall by the wayside. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of life that we have in you. Amen. Amen. So the coming series last week was the symbolism of the cross. This morning is the cross and the plan of God. We're going to be covering the cross and the justice of God, the cross and the sovereignty of God, the cross and the love of God, the cross, the kingdom of God, the cross and the victory of God. Oh, that's good, isn't it? It's great. It's really great. It's fantastic. So for those taking notes, for those who may be listening at home, for those who may be, I'm struggling here. Look, it's not big enough. We need a bigger lectern. Yes? I could use the box upside down. But is that what its intended purpose was for? Hey, great. Thank you, John. Brilliant. Oh, that's good. Yeah, thanks. There you are. That'll do. Thank you. Cheers, Chris. Shall I get another one? Got one here? Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. Reminds me of a drummer. There's drummers who have a 360 kit, and some of them even go up in the air and spin round as people are drumming. Hey. No, I'm joking. We wouldn't be doing that, would we? Not here. Okay, so get on with the sermon, Andy. Lots to get on with. The cross and the plan of God. So this is an imagery of the cross, and it's really to show that example of we're going to be looking at the cross from different perspectives, different angles. So sometimes it's good to explore in that 360 way and different perspectives of what is the cross. And last week we saw different images of the cross, different even materials of the cross and what that represents or potentially represents. And so have any of you ever made a plan? Do we have any thorough planners here in the room? Oh, there's some few hands going up, maybe at home as well. You're going, oh yeah, I am a planner. I like to plan. Any of you not really very good at planning? Do you want to? There's maybe more hands going up. Maybe a few more hands going up. Now, would anybody say that they plan to a whole other level where it's meticulous? Even if it's going, I need to pop into town to buy something. We need to make sure that we do this. Oh, there is a hand up. Wow. There's a couple of hands up. Amazing. Wow, fantastic. So we all like to make plans. Maybe it's a care plan, a retirement plan, maybe a holiday plan. And what if, then what? What could be a family plan? All sorts of plans. Maybe some of us are looking for planning permission. That's nice and easy and straightforward, isn't it? Planning permissions. But yes, we all have plans. And I wonder if sometimes our plans get completely overtaken by all manner of things. So at its simplest, a plan is just a set of actions that will lead to a desired outcome. But in context here, looking at the cross of Jesus was at the very center of God's plan for our salvation. God's plan for our salvation. Now, I know that I've made plans. And actually, sometimes it doesn't happen quite how I thought it would. A very real example is a children's talk this morning. Not quite how I thought it would go, but that's a very small detail. Sometimes the plans are major plans. Could be for retirement. When I retire, it's going to be fantastic. We're going to spend time and do all these things. But then maybe illness strikes, or our finances aren't quite what they thought they would be. We're going to plan a holiday. It's going to be great. But then there's flights that are cancelled, boats that don't go anymore, or something happens in the plan that throws a right old spanner in the works. Maybe sometimes we think, you know what, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. And this, yep, I've heard the talks, I've read the Bible parts of it, and I want to make that commitment. And then you make the commitment and you think, is that it? I haven't really changed. Nothing really seems to have happened. Where's that transformation that I thought I would be receiving? Plans take many shapes and different sizes, forms and outworkings. But we know for sure, with absolute confidence, that the cross of Jesus was at the very center of God's plan for our salvation. Right at the very center, the cross was crucial to God's plan. Not was, is crucial to God's plan. Some fancy words coming up, not so fancy, but that grand narrative, the great story, the big story of God's plan, salvation at the very core, the cross. Now, there's many verses in the Old Testament that is like a foreshadow of the cross. These are just some of them, and I would encourage you in your own time to maybe read the scripture passages that are up on the screen. But we have here, I can't read it, it's slightly squiffed, the light on there. Let's go on to this. It'll be on here. I think that says the... It is behind me, isn't it? Thank you. Oh, look at that. The binding of Isaac. Do you know, I'm all over the place this morning. I've got my notes right here. The binding of Isaac in Genesis 22. Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac is seen as foreshadowing of God the Father sacrificing his son, Jesus. Isaac carrying the wood for the sacrifice parallels Jesus carrying the cross. Then we have the bronze serpent mentioned in Numbers 21, 4-9. When the Israelites were bitten by serpents, God instructed Moses to make a bronze serpent and lift it up on the pole. Those who looked at it were healed. This is seen as a foreshadowing of Jesus being lifted up on the cross, bringing healing and salvation to those who believe in him. Then the manna in the wilderness. The manna that God provided to the Israelites in the wilderness is seen as a type of Jesus, the bread of life, who provides spiritual nourishment. Jonah and the great fish. Notice I didn't say whale. Maybe it wasn't a whale, it was just a great big fish, apparently. Jonah's 3 days and nights in the belly of the fish are seen as a foreshadowing of Jesus' 3 days and nights in the tomb before his resurrection. The Day of Atonement. Thank you, Martin. It's great. I still can't see up there. The Day of Atonement. The rituals of the Day of Atonement, particularly the scapegoat that carried the sins of the people into the wilderness, are seen as a foreshadowing of Jesus' atoning sacrifice for the sins of humanity. So each verse has a very specific foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And again, I encourage you to read these passages. It goes on. It's fascinating. It is wonderful. And it's incredible how Jesus is throughout the Old Testament that leads us to this time of silence before the New Testament. And then, of course, Jesus then being led to the cross. But it's wonderful that God's plan is all throughout that meta-narrative, that grand narrative. And the cross is absolutely central and vital. So New Testament confirmation. So again, there's lots of notes here, but just to clearly show that in the Old Testament and the New Testament often confirms what is being spoken in the Old Testament, whether that be through prophetic words from prophets of old or just the very fulfillment of Jesus coming as Messiah. Many, many examples. So the first example, Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bear a son called Emmanuel. And then Matthew confirms this prophecy by Jesus' birth. Micah 5:2. Micah predicted the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And then Matthew cites the prophecy in the context of Jesus' birth. Hosea 11:1. Hosea's statement, "Out of Egypt I called my son," is applied to Jesus' return from Egypt. And it goes on. And Isaiah speaks of a voice crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. And then Mark identifies this voice as John the Baptist, preparing the way for Jesus. We keep going. Psalm 22:1, David's cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Does that sound familiar? And then, of course, those words are echoed by Jesus on the cross. Isaiah 53, Isaiah's description of the suffering servant who bears our sins is applied to Jesus' crucifixion and atonement. A couple more just to highlight, Zechariah. Zechariah's prophecy about looking on the one they have pierced is fulfilled in Jesus' crucifixion. And Psalm 16:10, David's prophecy about not seeing decay is interpreted by Peter as referring to Jesus' resurrection. These are just some of the verses. There's plenty more. And it's really to make the point that you have to read the Bible in context, its Old and New Testament. That God's grand narrative, the meta-narrative, right at the very, very core, the plan of God is the cross. Jesus being led to the cross. And I think now just there's quite a lot to take in this morning through the worship. Message is very short. We have communion to share. Let's take a moment. We're going to listen to a bit of music in the background. Thank you for the team who's very last minute managed to sort it. Thank you. That was me being last minute. And then there's going to be a few pictures and slides up. Take the time to read these passages. Because I know that for many of us, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. We've heard so many sermons and talks, read many books, heard maybe podcasts, or however we have encountered and engaged with Scripture. It's all very well receiving these words, engaging in pictures, words. But when faced with hard reality, when faced with disorientating dilemmas, we know, yes, that the plan is Jesus who died on the cross and rose again so that we can all have life and know Christ individually. But when sickness strikes, when death takes hold, when our plans go completely awry, even plans that we believed were from God, when that gets shaken, when we are struggling and battling, we know the right words to say. We know to whom we should place our trust. But it doesn't make it easy. It's still hard. It's still tough. And for some of us who are in this room, for some who may be listening at home, faith can seem like the last possible place that we want to place our trust, because we think, God, if you are God of love, why? God, we read this in the Bible. How come I am having to face this? Why do we read in the news horrific things? How come my loved one is an absolute wreck of a human being? Why am I now alone? Why do I have to suffer? Why do seemingly horrific people thrive and yet the good, faithful, humble servants are destroyed and beaten and broken? You all have, I am sure, stories in your own life, journeys in your own experiences that maybe these questions have cropped up. For Jesus, he suffered horrifically. We are called to take up a cross and follow him. But I pray my heart is not just know the right words, to not just have that head knowledge, but to be able to journey together, helping one another, and to be encouraged to trust in Jesus together. Now, it doesn't mean that everything's all going to be rosy and happy days in our life, but I truly, truly believe that for all of us, we can know that peace that makes no sense. It goes, you know what? Somebody has been snatched away. A family member, a loved one has been taken. But how do we respond? With honesty? Yes. With vulnerability? Yeah. But let's not turn to the world for comfort. Let's turn to Christ and one another in a place of vulnerability that goes, oh, I can't do this. Help. Jesus, I know you are real. Help. And may that be an example in every area of life, where the cross becomes not just a symbol, as mentioned last week, that is static and dead, but the cross becomes a place where we journey, surrender, and encounter Jesus. So with a song playing in the background, I don't think my... So my mum, this is a personal thing, but it's okay. Found out 2 years now? Year and a half? Roughly a year and a half that my mum's got stage 4 cancer. So she's terminal, and so she's on end-of-life treatment. And that was in a time which was really difficult and hard, stressful. The kids know, but please don't go and say, oh, I heard. But for her, this song really meant a lot to her and still does. And it's incredible how she's facing this. And we all have stories, and we all have our journey. But let's not hold it in and feel like we're the only ones. Because we're stronger together. We're better together with Christ at the very center. Thank you. Well, Jesus, may we learn to lean on your everlasting arms. Thank you that we have a hope and an assurance because of you. And as we come to remember and to reconcile at your table, at the meal, we gather at this table to celebrate life, the life of God in the world. May flesh and blood in Jesus embodied in us. We come to remember the body that was broken, the hands that touched the untouchable, healed the hurting and did no violence, the feet that got dusty along city streets and at the lake's shore, the arms that welcomed the stranger and embraced the outcast, the legs that entered homes and synagogues and danced at celebrations, the eyes that blazed against injustice, knew how to cry and saw the potential in everyone, the belly that shared table with unexpected people and shook with laughter, the lips that wove stories and painted pictures of a new community and a better world, this blessed body that was broken, abused, and rejected, we come to remember. For we are called to be the body of Christ. As you, risen Christ, remember our lives, so we remember you. And not only at this table, but in our life together. May we embody your kingdom and remember your life in the world. Let's pray. O God, we give thanks for this bread and wine, a timeless reminder of the flesh and blood life of Jesus, broken, rejected, yet unstoppable. In Christ we see a life that could not be ended by death, a purpose that could not be silenced by the forces of violence, a desire deep within you for the transformation of the world. As we eat the bread and drink the wine, we thank you for the acceptance and tenderness with which you have transformed our shame into dignity and loved us into life. We thank you for cherishing the potential in each and every one of us and for calling us to be partners in your vision for this world. As we eat the bread and drink the wine, we call on your Spirit to come alongside us so that together, in the company of your Spirit, we may give ourselves afresh to the task of remembering you, of being the body of Christ, of living your life in this world. Amen. Such powerful words. May that become a reality. For those helping to serve communion, please, can you come now? Thank you. So this broken bread we share is the body of Christ. It is a sign of all that we live and risk together as a community of Christ. Let all who seek Christ take and eat.